It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you. God's cure for guilt. That's our topic today. I have Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, sitting in the studio with me, and we are going to discuss that issue. God's cure for guilt. All of us remember, or at least I think most remember, that Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you that are burdened and heavy laden." That, of course, brings up the concept to us of guilt. Those of us that are carrying heavy burdens. But we're going to look at that. We'll look at the whole human dynamic and experience. And we have a wonderful Christian psychiatrist that is here with us today that will help us better understand some other aspects of guilt as it relates to mental wellness and mental health. All you have to do to join us on the air by way of your questions or comments is simply pick up the phone and give us a call. There are many places that you can call into and find the kind of expert advice that you have available to you today with Dr. Tim Jennings. So plan on doing that. 800-775-4673. When you call in, we are going to give you a book courtesy of our guest. It is his book, Could It Be This Simple? A great title, Could It Be This Simple? Subtitled, A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And this is by our guest today, Dr. Tim Jennings. And we're going to give away one of those during the first half hour and a second one at the end of the second half hour. So call in right away and you can have an opportunity by way of drawing of having that if you join us on the air and participate in the program. Our number, 800-775-4673, 800-775-HOPE. That's how you can join us on the air. And it is a lot of fun when you do that. And I know when you call in with your questions and your comments that you bless the lives of many other thousands and thousands of people that are watching or listening to this program right now. We'd mention once again that we are back live on the Hope Channel after the holiday season. We went back earlier on the Life Talk Radio Network, but now we are also back live on the Hope Channel after the holiday season. So it's good to have all of you back as we talk about these wonderful things, look at the world around us, and then try to better understand it through the lens of God's Holy Word. What does the Bible have to say? So join with us in a good discussion. We'd like to hear from you. And we also know that our guests can be helpful to many, many of you today by calling in and having your questions answered. 800-775-4673. You can go to our website, check it out, www.lifetalk.net. And you'll find ways not only that Life Talk can help you by way of just many things that we have on our website that will help you with your Christian growth and experience, but also you can go there and help out Life Talk as well. There are ways to donate, and you can find them very easily on the website. And all the different ways that you can listen to Life Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, are there. We have several channels. They're all available, and you can find the information there about the various radio channels, about our radio stations, about the satellite information, all of those things you'll find at the website, www.lifetalk.net. Now, what about guilt? It is in the news. Recently on CNN, they offered some advice about the new year and about guilt. Here was the advice that was offered by CNN. Get rid of guilt for the new year. Well, that's a short quote, but it is good advice. Simply get rid of guilt for the new year. And most of us realize that it's not that simple. Now, I don't think probably the CNN was just being flippant when they said that. But most of us look at that as fairly trite advice, because the hard part is knowing how we can get rid of guilt. But it is good advice that was offered by CNN. Get rid of guilt for the new year. It continues to say everyone feels guilty from time to time, but being consumed with guilt can suck the joy out of our life. And that is so true. And I believe that even though it was not intended that way, I would assume on the part of CNN, it certainly is a statement that the Bible would, that we could find the Bible in full agreement with. It will suck the joy out of life. Continuing in that article, it says that guilt is a feeling of remorse that arises when you have done something wrong or you think you have. Once again, that may be a very limited definition of guilt, especially from the scriptural standpoint. And also, we have, as I mentioned, a wonderful guest that can help us better understand what guilt really is and how that works in our lives. Now, CNN quoted psychologist Dr. Mark Larry, PhD, says emotions are guilt. Emotions like guilt are essential to social relationships, he says. The feelings of guilt motivate you to take other people's feelings into account. In most cases, you simply register the feeling of guilt, and that leads to some sort of attempt to make amends, to apologize, to behave with more care, which can help preserve important relationships. And so at least that individual describes that as guilt or the way that guilt works out in social relationships. Once again, I think that maybe guilt is a little more complex than just that simple statement, but that is something important to consider. Well, unhealthy guilt in that article also says that when you obsess about something that you have done without any purpose or any clear goal. Well, that's what's in the news, and we have our guest today that's going to help us bring clarity to these things. The issue of guilt. Do you feel guilty? Do you feel burdened down? Well, is it good? Is it bad? We're going to discuss that today. Our number, 800-775-4673. Could it be this simple? This is what we're giving away today, a biblical model for healing the mind by Dr. Tim Jennings, MD, and we'll do that in just a little while at the end of the first half hour and then at the end of the second half hour. So to have an opportunity to have that book, all you have to do is call in and join us on the air, 800-775-4673. Well, Dr. Jennings, we need to go to break here fairly quickly, but we're going to dig into guilt. And I would assume that as a psychiatrist, this is one of the significant issues that you have to deal with.
Absolutely. There are people, guilt is a very destructive emotion if it's not resolved. And people are damaged in heart and their relationships. There's actually negative consequences that happen in the brain and body if guilt is not resolved. So it is absolutely something that we have to address, deal with people, help them work through and resolve. And there are two types of guilt we're going to talk about here in a little bit. There's that appropriate guilt and that inappropriate guilt, and they're resolved differently.
All right, and many people need to call in today to have a conversation with us.
We're here.
All right, 800-775-4673. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. There is so much to come today. I know that you're going to appreciate and enjoy our guest and this program.
Do you agree? Let us know. 800-775-4673.
I'm talking with people about their finances, and you are?
Stu Starling. I'm a motivational singer.
Oh, like a motivational speaker?
Yes, but I sing.
Well, Stu, how would you motivate me to manage my money better?
Well, I'd tell you, hey, hold on to your wallet.
Ooh.
In these challenging days.
See what you mean.
And no overspending will undermine the plans you've made.
Wow, I'm getting motivated already.
You try it.
Stick to your budget.
That's it, buddy. You can do it.
Don't spend more than you make.
Now everybody sing.
It's more than a wish. It can happen to you. You've got what it takes.
Well, Stu, just one question.
Oh.
Do you live on a budget yourself?
Of course. How do you think I saved up to buy this orchestra?
Ah.
Need help getting motivated? Check out the free online budget guide when you visit crown.org. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. God's cure for guilt. That's our topic today. You can call in. It's very easy. 800-775-4673. At the bottom of the hour, at the end of the first half hour, we're going to give away the book that is written by our guest, a great book that has really gone off the shelf, just flown off the shelves. Could it be this simple? A biblical model for healing the mind. We're going to give away two of these today, one at the end of the first half hour, one at the end of the second half hour. Let's go now to the phones. We're going to Virginia and speak with Janet. Janet, it is so nice to have you on the air today.
Hello. How
Hi.
Are you?
We're doing well, Janet, and it's great to have you with us. And you must have a question.
Yes. I wanted to know if it is possible for a person not to experience any form of guilt.
All right. That's a good question, Janet, and I think a good one for us to start with today. Dr. Jennings, is it possible for a person to go through life? Are there certain individuals that can go through life and never experience the feelings of guilt?
Yes, actually there are. We typically call them sociopaths. are psychopaths. These people have no remorse for anything, no conviction. The part of the mind that would respond appropriately with a sense of conviction or guilt when they act inappropriately and exploit others is broken, I guess you might say. But these people don't have the capacity for guilt, generally. And that's how they're able to exploit others without any second thought whatsoever. They don't look back in any way other than how it impacts them.
Could I ask you about the, or do we even know, the origin of that lack of feeling of guilt? I mean, is there something physiologically wrong with
it? It has not been determined at this point.
Okay.
We just know that there are those individuals out there that have no compunction, no sense of remorse, no sense of guilt, no conviction of wrong. And I view it the way my personal view on it is that the conscience is a faculty of our mind that is sensitive to the movements of the Spirit of God. And as a child can be born with physical blindness, where there's no physical eyes to see physical light, I think that in this world of sin, sometimes people can be born with brains that are not wired to actually have the conscience in operation.
All right.
So that's
we,
my personal
we
opinion.
Live in an imperfect
yes,
world.
Exactly.
Certainly. What about the issue of a person having their conscience come to the place where they don't feel guilt any longer, so that it's not a lifelong experience, but it is a partial life experience?
That's exactly true, too. People who persist in doing things that are in violation of God's law, and we can expand on that later in the program if you like, will experience a conviction of guilt. It's normal, it's natural when you exploit others, when you harm others. If you persist in doing this to the point that you desensitize your conscience, it would be very much like looking at the sun and staring at the sun for an hour. You can burn out your retinas and eventually you're no longer sensitive. When you first look at the sun, it's actually painful. It hurts to look at the sun.
Right.
But you could force yourself to overcome that, and over the course of time, it's no longer painful because you've destroyed the retinas. In your conscience, the same way. You can't really exploit others without a conviction, without damaging your conscience. But if you persist in it, then over time you can destroy it. And Paul talks about those who sear the conscience with a hot iron.
All right, Janet, anything else? I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Yes, it did answer my question. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Did you have anything else that you wanted to ask or share?
No, I don't
okay.
think so. I just know that, I had felt that I had been offended by someone who I don't believe shares any form of guilt, and it was hard for me to get past it.
Right.
Because they never bothered to say that they were sorry for the things that they had done to me. And
okay.
it was a spouse, it was a spouse that did these horrific things to me. So
sure. Well, let me ask our guest, if you don't mind staying with us for just a moment, Janet.
Sure.
And that is, Dr. Jennings, what about, we've talked about a person that just can't feel guilt or remorse. But what about relationship type issues where one person feels they have been offended, the other person may not feel that they have done any offense, and so apology doesn't come? And once again, I don't know what level Janet's talking about in her issue. But just in general, what about that?
When we have been offended by someone and we have been injured and hurt, the healing that we experience comes when we extend in our hearts, whether it's actually done in reality or not to the person is not, but in the heart there has to be forgiveness. Forgiveness is what brings healing. The other person experiences healing for the offense that they committed when they experience and go through repentance. And when there's both repentance and forgiveness together, then reconciliation of the relationship can occur. What happens in the case, sometimes we get confused because we sometimes think that we can't forgive until the other person acknowledges or recognizes they're wrong, until they own up to it, until they take responsibility for it, then I can let it go. But that's actually a subtle trap that we get then held hostage by somebody else's failure to deal effectively with their own heart issues. And Christ said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, which means that other people reveal to us their nature, their character, what kind of methods and principles they live by as they treat us and as they treat others. And so if we're offended by someone, rather than holding it against them and being angry and resentful and bitter, we recognize the truth, as Christ said, Father, forgive them, because they don't realize in their ugliness to me, they're searing their own conscience, they're destroying their own souls.
All right. Well, Janet, once again, we hope that's been helpful.
Yes, it has.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless, and I hope that you can work some of those things through.
Yes,
thank you.
I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Florida now. We're going to speak with Joan. Joan, it's so nice to have you on the air today.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, go ahead, Joan.
Well, I just, I fight guilt, and I don't know if it's the one that someone mentioned as being inappropriate, but my husband and I had tried to provide shelter and help take care of one of our adult married children this past year.
Okay.
By having her and her young family move in with us, and that included a son-in-law and a small child. And we tend to be helpers and rescuers, and we tried to rescue and really turned out badly after a few months.
Okay.
And we eventually had to do a tough love kind of a thing and just ask the kids to go out and, you know, find a place that they liked, and we took care of that and kind of set them up so that they would have a place to go. But
right.
I mean, it created some terrible, there was a lot of stuff going back and forth for several months, and it escalated finally into a pretty good sized meltdown in our family. And I just feel real guilt about that.
Okay.
We handle it correctly. And I go back and I look at it and think, we did the only thing we could do, so
right.
why do I feel guilty?
Well, you know what? I think you are a classic person in a classic situation. And we'll talk about that, and we'll get back with our guest as soon as we get back from break, and I'm sure he can be helpful to us. So stay tuned. Stay with us if you would. We'll be back in just a moment. 800-775-4673 is the number.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Remember Y2K? When we went from 1999 into the year 2000, there were all kinds of predictions that things would shut down or computers would go all haywire, among other things. Well, it never happened that way. We just went rather quietly into the new year. There were no such dire warnings this year, and we went into the new year without any major problems. 2008 is here, and once again we face 12 months of uncertainty, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. We may not know everything that will happen in our lives this year, but as believers, we do know that God is in control. He has the master plan, not only for us personally, but for the entire civilization as we know it. Isn't that reassuring? To know that our Heavenly Father, who loves us unconditionally, has things all worked out? We may not agree with everything, and there are certain to be times of struggle, but we can take comfort in the fact that God will take care of us, no matter what.
From Life Talk Radio.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about guilt, what we can do about it. Our number is 800-775-4673. If you'd like to join us on the air, we'd be happy to hear from you. We have a book, Could It Be This Simple? We're giving a couple of these away today, one at the end of the first half hour, one at the end of the second half hour. Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by our guest, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And so you can have an opportunity to have that sent out to you free of charge. Whoever gets it will be very, very fortunate because it's a wonderful book. We also have Joan in Florida that is on the phone with us. And Joan, as I mentioned going into break, what you have shared, I have heard so many times with people. It is kind of one of those classic situations of life. You do your best, you try to help someone out, and then you find out maybe you can't help them out as well as what you'd like, and then you feel guilty because you can't maybe keep doing things and so forth and so on. We really appreciate you calling in. So let's go now to our guest and have him address some of the things that you shared with us.
Well, I appreciate your call and your question because I have many patients who struggle with issues, particularly in relation to their children, their adult children, as their children grow up and often will endeavor in activities or courses of living their life that are not necessarily where the parents would have preferred their children go. Whether it be not being employed, whether it be living with someone they're not married to, or even illegal activities. And a lot of times parents can feel guilt over this. In your particular case, you're describing an attempt to help these young people and help them get on their feet. And you didn't go into the details, but I surmise that that there was a time where you had to actually, you know, prod them along a little further because they weren't taking some of the initiative that they needed to take on their own. There are two types of guilt that people struggle with. The appropriate guilt is that guilt when we've actually done something wrong, something illegal, something immoral, something that violates God's laws of love and where we harm and exploit and hurt somebody else. Well, from what you described, that didn't occur. So that leaves us then with the types of inappropriate guilt. And inappropriate guilt, on some level, is always occurring because on some level we're believing a lie of some sort. Now, are you still with us?
Yes.
All right.
Good. So I was going to ask a question. In any level, did you feel in any way responsible for how your children, your daughter and son-in-law, were feeling towards you or responsible for the outcome of their situation?
Well, we didn't do everything right. I'm sure we didn't handle things the way our daughter and son-in-law would thought that we should, but we felt that we handled them, you know, as correctly as we could under the circumstances.
Yeah, and it was very telling comment you just made there. We, you know, I'm sure we didn't handle it the way our daughter and son-in-law thought we should. It suggests to me on some level your sense of well-being is being held hostage by their opinion of you and what they think of you and how they judge you and how they're judging you or relating to you is impacting back on whether, in other words, you're using their opinion as a barometer to measure whether you did what was right or not. And the truth is the truth. Whether they agree with it or don't agree with it, if you did what was right, reasonable, healthy, to the best of your ability, then your conscience is clear and you did what was right. Clarifying responsibility is parents are responsible for their conduct in parenting. They're not responsible for the outcome of their children's lives. They're not responsible for how their children feel about them. But they are responsible for their conduct in parenting. And sometimes there's the blurring of those boundaries with many of my patients where they feel either responsible for the outcome, and that happens because of a lot of misunderstandings. Actually, it happens a lot from church where they're told a proverb, raise a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And they have that resonating in their mind, and they feel guilt because, well, you know, I did my best, and my child, I must have done something wrong. It must be my fault. But that's actually a mistranslation. The translation is more accurate is, raise a child according to his way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Meaning, if you let a child dictate the terms of his rearing, let the child tell you when he's going to bed, what he's going to do, when he's going to school, what he's going to eat, and you never discipline or direct the child, don't expect him to become a well-disciplined adult. He won't depart from his indulgent ways. How do we know that's the right interpretation? Well, when parenting is perfect, as in God parenting Lucifer and God parenting Adam, children still went astray. So it can't mean that if you do your job right, you're guaranteed that your children won't go astray. So it has to mean the other. And when people realize that, they're freed from this. You mean I can do a really good job? And I can do all that was within my power to do for my children? And my children still can go astray? It can free us from inappropriate guilt.
All right, Joan? Joan, are you still with us? Did we lose Joan?
Yes.
Oh, you're there. Okay. Very, very good, Joan. Well, Joan, let me ask you, from your perspective, you shared with us that your children feel maybe that you didn't do everything as well as what you should have. From your perspective, do you think that maybe you could have done better, or?
There were a couple of angry moments that I could have been more in control, but they were, to me, they were very minimal and okay. You know, not worthy of the explosion that ensued because of the things that our children said and did after that.
Sure.
And the entire event was predicated by an abusive situation towards our daughter from her spouse. So there was an underlying layer of real problem that created a break in the relationship.
All right. Well,
that we were trying to deal with on top of just being wise and seeing that if they, you know, if they were going to live under our roof a certain way, then perhaps it would be better for them to go live under their own roof and just learn how to deal with life and grow strong together and not have to be under our roof and our authority.
Right. Well, Joan, you've mentioned a couple things, and stay with us if you would. Dr. Jennings, let me ask you, first of all, about people that are good people, that do good things. Overall, you know, they do as well as anyone else in life would, but they're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But from that, people can start feeling tremendous guilt because none of us are perfect.
Yeah, and this is one of the traps many of my patients fall into, because we're not perfect and we're not omniscient, meaning we don't know all things. By definition, don't we all accept that as we grow, we're going to learn new things, better things, new insights, wisdoms, that if we would have known a year ago, if we had known a month ago, that would have made such a difference in our life. And sometimes as we grow from experience and from knowledge and from wisdom from other sources, we can look back and beat ourselves up because we didn't handle it in a particular way. But that's a disservice. The real question is, was I doing the best? Was my heart motive? And that's what God judges us on. My motive. Was my motive to be redemptive, to be healing, to be loving, to set boundaries that would be in my daughter's best interest? Was that what I was doing to reach out and heal? That's how I'm going to be judged, because I'm not perfect, and there's things that are always outside of my awareness. Not the specific act, always itself.
All right. We have to go to break. Joan, stay with us. Let us talk to you off air for just a moment if we could do that. Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775, and the word HOPE, so it's really easy to remember, H-O-P-E. And we're going to give away Could It Be This Simple in just a minute, and then at the end of the second half hour, we'll give away another one. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about guilt, God's remedy for guilt. What can we do about it? What can we do about guilt that is in our life? Where do we place it? And what is appropriate guilt? What is inappropriate? All of those things. If you would like to join us on the air, feel free to do it. 800-775-4673 is our number, so it's very easy to call in. And we always love to hear from you. We also have a Bible question we haven't thrown out yet today. What Old Testament passage warns that those who sow trouble or wickedness will reap the same? An Old Testament passage that warns us that those who sow trouble or wickedness will reap the same. 800-775-4673. Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and our topic is God's cure for guilt. We're going back to the phones now. We're going to Sonia in Florida. Sonia, so good to hear from you today. Hi, Sonia.
Are you ready for me to give you my question?
Yes, we are, Sonia, and you are on the air from coast to coast.
Okay. My question regards my husband and I, while we were, you know, we lived together, we had 47 years together before he died, and he always made everything and everybody a priority before me. And even after we retired from work, I kept asking him if he wouldn't take one day a week for just me and him. And he never would. He never would say no, but he never would set aside one day for us, you know, or any time, actually. And he died 2 years ago, and I have just felt really sad that, you know, now I'll never have any time with him till we get to heaven.
Right.
And how do I let go of this feeling of being cheated?
All right.
Well, maybe that's not guilt, but I feel like that I was cheated of something that I should have had.
But, Sonia, I think that it's really a good question for us to address today, because sometimes our feelings get all mixed up together, and it's hard to know which feeling we're dealing with. And I think that that you bring up a good thing for us to address as we're talking about guilt today. Dr. Jennings?
Yeah, as I heard her question, the first thing that comes to my mind was she's going to have to make a judgment in her mind. Either she, going with her feelings, evaluating her feelings in light of the facts of the history of her life, does she judge that, in fact, she was, in fact, cheated? Or does she just feel like she was cheated, but she really had a great life? She had a man who loved her, who was loyal to her, who was faithful to her, who shared his life with her as they lived it together, and she has much to be thankful for. I mean, she's got to look at the facts of her life history and determine, was I in fact cheated, or is that a lie? Is that feeling tempting me to believe something that really wasn't true? And if she chooses in her judgment to believe that, in fact, yes, I was cheated, then the way we resolve that, it's like any other injury. There needs to be forgiveness. How you get past it is you've talked to the Lord and asked for a forgiving heart to forgive your husband for his cheating you out of what you believed was necessary for a happy life with him.
So as far as it relates to guilt, Sonia, I did not hear her say this, but she could feel guilty for not forgiving her husband, for being angry at him, for a whole host of things.
If she fails to resolve it, I think she's in the valley of decision of what she's working on. I think she's in the grist of the mill working right on this issue right now. But you're right, if she fails to resolve it and becomes bitter and angry and grudge holding and so forth, that could result in guilt for not being able to find peace.
Sonia, I don't know if that got at what you wanted us to address or not, and I didn't mean to put words in your mouth, but does that help? Do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Oh, yes, that does help, and I think that will help me to resolve this issue. You know, you just have to forgive that kind of a mistake the same as any other kind of mistake that a person makes.
Well, let me ask you, were you feeling somewhat guilty maybe that you have not forgiven your husband for what you perceive as his failing in life?
Maybe so.
Okay.
But I still felt like that he should have given my needs some consideration, you know.
Well, I think from what you've told us, all of us would agree with that.
Yeah, well, and the fact that he didn't, though, have you considered the turmoil and difficulty your husband may have had in life? People that function like you describe your husband are generally people who walk around with tremendous amounts of insecurity and fear of what other people think of them, and they walk around really being held hostage by the demands and the opinions of others. And so your husband didn't have a life of a lot of peace, probably. He was probably always under a lot of internal stress. And I think he would have preferred to find that peace that would have allowed him to tell others no and spend more time with you. The fact that he couldn't do it, maybe if you could get your mind around that concept, you could actually have a little empathy and compassion for him that he wasn't able to grow past that himself.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question, you know.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Sonia, and God bless.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, now let's go to the beautiful Bahama Islands, and we're going to speak to Barrington. Barrington, so nice to have you on the air with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's just a joy to listen and watch on the internet over Hope Television streaming.
Yes.
You gave you asked for Bible picks. It is Job 4:8 and maybe Proverbs 22 and verse 8.
Okay. Are you answering the question?
Yes, I mentioned the question they asked about what Bible text talks about what you sow, you will reap.
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
One is Job 4 and verse 8.
Okay.
And I think the other one is Proverbs 22 and verse 8.
All right. Now, we'll give the correct answer at the end of the program, according to Phil. And I'm looking over at Phil right now. Phil, you'll need to sort that out for us, and we'll give the correct answer a little later. But
wonderful. I have a question.
Yes, please.
What is the connection? I'll explain further the connection between guilt and forgiveness. And when is guilt positive?
Yeah, right. So it's a great question. First, what is the function of guilt as I understand it? We're talking appropriate guilt. Guilt when you've actually...
Well, what is the connection between guilt and forgiveness?
Yes, but I was going to answer your second question first and then come to the first question second. Your first question is its function. What's the function of guilt? The function of guilt is to alert us that something is wrong. It functions the same way for your soul as pain functions for your body. When you touch a hot stove, the pain alerts you that damage is occurring to your physical body, and you pull back quickly and stop the damage. Guilt is designed to alert you that damage is happening to your soul, to your conscience, to your character, to your mind, so that you pull back quickly and stop down that destructive path and turn back to a path of God and healing and restoration and so forth. That's the function of guilt. Appropriate guilt. What's the relationship between guilt and forgiveness? When you've actually done somebody wrong and you experience guilt for the wrong and violations of God's law, part of the healing and resolution of guilt is when we experience God's forgiveness, bringing us to repentance and transformation of heart. And so we couldn't be resolved of our guilt if God was unforgiving. And since He is forgiving, the door is open for our resolution of the guilt.
All right. Barrington, I feel so bad about asking you to hold on through the break, but I'll have to do it. The computers are in charge,
right.
And we try to get along with them. So just stay with us if you'd be kind enough to do that. We'll be back in just a minute. There's a lot more to come today, and we would love to have you call in. Join us on the air. We're talking about guilt, what to do with it.
Make a comment on today's show. Call 800-775-4673.
Do you long for a more intimate relationship with God? Are you looking for an abundant life and power to walk in God's footsteps? Then look no farther than the Bible in your hands. Popular speaker and author Shelley Quinn knows firsthand the power of reading the Bible and speaking God's promises aloud. She shares her insight in her new book, Exalting His Word, published by Pacific Press. Shelley Quinn will infuse you with a greater desire to study God's Word and to help you experience God's transforming power in your life. Let the Bible in your hands be God's power in your life. Get a copy of Exalting His Word today by calling 800-765-6955 or going to pacificpress.com. That's 800-765-6955 or visiting pacificpress.com.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about God's remedy for guilt. What do we do? Everyone in life, at least most people, we found out at the beginning of the program, not everyone, but most people in this life feel guilty about something at some time and maybe often. And we're talking about guilt, how to handle it, what to do with it, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. Our number is 800-775-4673. If you'd like to join us on the air, pick up the phone, give us a call, and we would love to hear from you. We have just been speaking with Barrington in the Bahamas, and somehow we lost him during break. We're going to come right back, though, in just a moment and finish up on some of the things that Barrington had presented to us, some comments and questions that he had. First of all, let me mention that Sonia in Florida is going to receive this book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And we are giving away two of these today, one in the first half hour. Sonia gets this one during the callers from during the first half hour. And then we'll come to the second half hour, of course, at the end of the program. Our number, 800-775-4673. Our guest today, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And you can call in and have expert advice as we talk about the issue of guilt. Well, Dr. Jennings, let me come back and we can just tie off without Barrington on the line, actually, with us. And tie off on some of the things that he had mentioned.
Well, I think that he is concerned about the relationship between guilt and forgiveness. And I think we talked about that, that our guilt is there to warn us that damage is occurring. If it wasn't for God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's open door, so to speak, to his reconciliation, then we really couldn't be healed. We couldn't be restored. The damage would persist to our souls, so we wouldn't get over the guilt. But because God is forgiving, God is gracious, that opens a door to allow us to experience then the repentance that comes, and repentance also is a gift from God, that he, as we trust him, he pours his spirit out to bring us to repentance. And as we have that changed heart, then we're no longer outside the harmony that exists in the relationship with God, and the guilt goes away. So we're healed in that way.
Let me come back to another issue that came up earlier that we haven't gotten to, and then we'll get back to the phones and back to the calls. But as human beings, of course, we're not all that simple. And I can't find anywhere where there is, several sections of the human being that are distinct. Everything seems to be integrated. And at times our emotions get really in turmoil. And it's hard to distinguish what is guilt, what is anger, what's happiness and joy, for instance. I mean, we think of children in particular. I mean, a child can go from crying in anger in one half second to rejoicing in the next half second. It all seems to be the same emotion. And we don't have time to sort through all of that today. But are there any implications that our audience should be aware of when it comes to guilt about how the emotions are actually tied together?
Yes. Inappropriate guilt, guilt that is occurring that when you haven't actually done anything wrong, feels just like appropriate guilt.
Okay.
You cannot distinguish the two types of guilt by the way they feel. And most people don't know this. And one of the major traps people fall into is trusting their feelings as an accurate determiner of reality. And it is simply not the case. When you get a feeling of guilt, it is at that time you must step back and say, okay, hold on, wait a minute. What's the truth? Have I actually done something wrong? And if I have, then I need to deal with that through repentance, restoration, and appropriate avenues, and a reconciliation with God and others. If I haven't done anything wrong, then I need to identify, okay, I haven't done anything wrong, but I'm still feeling guilt. So either some other feeling is masquerading as guilt, as you were saying, feelings can get blurry, and some other feeling is really the issue, a feeling of grief, a feeling of disappointment, a feeling of regret. Regret is not the same thing as guilt. I regret that it didn't turn out this way, but I'm glad I handled it the way I did. You say, they're not the same, but sometimes they can get blurry. We have to clarify the feeling. If it's still guilt, then we have to say, okay, what am I believing that is contributing to this guilt? Because inappropriate guilt occurs because we're believing some falsehood. And then sometimes what you read earlier of the CNN report, the psychologist talking about guilt in relationships, guilt is one of the ways that we are most frequently manipulated by other people as they play on our feelings to incite. People will try to incite guilt in us to get us to do what they want us to do. And it's at that time we have to actually be aware of our feelings and think through, wait a minute, what is really reasonable here? Classic example, your boyfriend or girlfriend says, you know, I dropped out of school for you. I left a good job for you. I did all this thinking we would get married, and now you want to break up with me? You see? And
sure,
you might feel guilty, and that is designed to make you feel guilty, to get you to stay in a relationship when your judgment tells you this is really not appropriate for you to stay anymore. Okay? Right. And it's important that we don't allow those types of things to incite guilt to drive us to a course of action that is really unhealthy for us.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We are going to Virginia and speak with Gary. Gary, it's great to hear from you.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, thank you. So good to have you on the air.
I was listening to your conversation with the lady who let her daughter, I believe it was, and family live with her for a time.
Yes.
And what came to mind is I'm 40 years old, and, you know, I've had a lot of interference-type relationships with older people, you know, who are mentoring-type people. And I think from what I heard her say, you know, if I'm out of line, let me know, was... When I invite someone in, you know, I think I need to be at the place where I've made a choice to accept those people. And if I'm trying to help them, you know, I'll let them come into my home. And I don't feel like I have the authority to expect them to change their lives. Here are two adult people trying to find themselves.
Right.
And I think, you know, tough love is we look at God and how he loves.
Right.
And it's tough. He, you know, he still loves Lucifer. And it's tough to love and yet not.
Well, yeah, Gary, we have to go to break, and we'll pick up on the other side of break. But what you are bringing up is, I think, a significant issue. And I know that our guest will comment on that in just a minute. The issue of tough and love, how do those go together and not have the feeling of guilt involved in it? We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
What do you think? Give us a call. 800-775-4673.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them,
"Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away."
This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted,
"Hosanna!
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest heaven.
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked,
Who is this?
The crowds answered,
This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
You've been listening to Inspired by The Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by The Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about guilt today and what to do about it. What is God's way of looking at this, and how do we, because we are human and emotional creatures, how do we deal with guilt? And how do we do it in a way that not only is honorable for us, but brings God glory as well? 800-775-4673 is our number. And we have Gary in Virginia that's on the phone line with us. Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. We are in the last segment of the program, so we don't have a whole lot of time. But Dr. Jennings, let me come back to you. Before we went into break, Gary had proposed this particular situation that he wanted to have addressed.
Yeah, and Gary, I think you bring up a good point in the suggestion that one adult person can't take responsibility to fix the life of another adult person. We can't do that. And so there needs to be this acceptance of the other person's authority over governance in themselves, the acceptance of the fact that if any change comes from another person's life, they'll have to implement that change. That's all true. However, that doesn't mean that when you open your home up to some other person, to allow them to come into your home, to offer them an opportunity to get back on your feet, that you have to then allow them to live their lives any way they want to live in the confines of your home. It is your home, and you're opening them up under the condition that they abide by the reasonable conduct, standards of conduct of your home. For instance, if they were smokers and you opened up the home to allow them to get back on their feet, it would be very reasonable to say, but I don't want any smoking in my house. You're not trying to tell them to quit. You're not trying to tell them how to live their life. But in my home, we're going to conduct ourselves this way. But you're free not to stay here. You're free to stay somewhere else if you want. I'm offering you this opportunity. These are the conditions. You need to make your decision. And so I think you have a point, but we don't want to blur it to the point that the homeowner loses authority and governance in their own home.
Okay, Gary, I follow up.
Yes, you asked how that led, you know, to the guilt, you know, leading to the freedom of guilt. To, you know, Jesus talked about being renewed in the mind, being transformed in the mind,
right?
And the good guilt, you know, if we're becoming transformed, the good guilt, we replace the word guilt here with, you know, the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that's the working that we can have in being able to deal with these issues and not having confrontation, because, you know, my choice, they come out of maybe a feeling of guilt or lack of understanding. And if we try to get away from the guilt part, and like I have two children, and I don't, when I have to, you know, be stern with them, I tell them, I don't want you to feel guilty, but right, if you truly want to change or truly want to, you know, get this right, then you'll make the choice.
You brought up another really good point here, Gary, and that is that sometimes people feel guilt because there's some sin in their life. And if they go and seek forgiveness from God, they confess their sin, but they don't actually experience repentance. The heart hasn't changed. They still have the same defect of character in operation in their life. Oftentimes, they won't experience resolution of the guilt, and that's because the conscience is still convicting. We've got the same problem here of heart, because the heart hasn't changed yet, even though maybe we stopped a behavior, we no longer do this behavior, but the heart hasn't really changed, and so people can still feel chronic guilt, even though they've asked forgiveness for a particular act, and that's because they haven't really had that regenerating power of the Holy Spirit you've talked about. So that's a great point.
And if we're willing, to show them the other side of that, rather than putting more guilt on them, in what we say or how we may treat them, we may be able to free them of that guilt to an extent, so that their mind can be opened up to where it can be affected for a positive direction.
Yeah, and Gary, I think what you're presenting there does have some merit. I think, though, that we also have to realize there may be more to it, in that the Holy Spirit is in charge of what's happening, and the Holy Spirit is going to bring conviction, and no matter what we do, the Holy Spirit is going to do its work outside of our human relationship and how we relate to whatever the issues might be.
Right.
And so that guilt, you know, we can't take away with the work of the Holy Spirit and what He's going to do. Well, right. Gary, thanks so much for calling. Good points that you made. We appreciate you calling in. All right. Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Florida, and we're going to speak with Rose. Rose, how are you doing today?
Hello. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good.
I just wanted to say about false guilt.
Yes.
Well, false guilt, you know, is feelings. Sometimes people just feel that way, you know.
Yeah, right.
And that comes with, you know, the wrong opinions, too, the wrong things they've been told, and they get it from other people also.
Yes. So
but
now, Rose, let me make sure I understand. You're saying that at times people will feel guilty because those around them have made them feel guilty when they don't necessarily have any reason to be guilty or feel guilty?
Yes.
Well, let me stop right there and ask our guest about that.
I think that's a great point that Rose is bringing up, because as we were mentioned briefly earlier, that other people will often try to manipulate you and us with guilt if they don't get their way. And there's some examples we can throw out to your audience, just common things like, if you can't take me to the store, that's okay. I've been suffering with this pain so long, a few more days won't matter.
Right.
You see?
Sure.
And that can make you feel, oh, okay, feel guilty, and then you go, how do we deal with that type of guilt? With the truth. Wait a minute, what is the truth? You're right. You've had that pain for the last 37 years. A couple more days really won't matter at all. Thank you. You see? You
sure.
Deal with it with the truth.
Right.
Or a child says, Mom, you say you love me, but every time I want to do something, you say no. You don't love me. And I have patients, believe it or not, that might seem easy to you, but I have patients who are just torn up by that kind of stuff from their kids, and they feel terribly guilty and inadequate, and then the kids get in control, and they do what the kids do. Okay, what would you like me to do? What would you like to do, son? How can I help you? You see?
Right.
It's terribly destructive. So I think Rose is bringing up great points here.
All right. Rose, we're pressed on time. We're coming close to the end of the program, but let me come back to you. I want to make sure that we have in perspective everything that you wanted to share today. So go ahead.
Well, the thing is to rationalize, you know, with the truth, you know, especially the truth that God tells us.
Yes.
Sometimes people have to have the power in the mind to rationalize, because you can't just, you know, let your feelings stay, you know,
yes,
overpower your rationality, because you've got to be strong in your mind with Jesus.
I think you are exactly right, Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I think you're right on target with that. Rose, we are coming up to the end here. I'm sorry that we have to move along, but I want to thank you so much for calling in, Rose.
Thank you.
And all right, you have a good day. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, Dr. Jennings, we're right at the end of the program here, and we have just a minute or so before the end of the program. And I want to make sure that when we leave today that people have some perception of what a significant issue this is. We know scripturally that it is a very significant issue. Jesus came to relieve the world of the guilt of sin, individually and the whole process of sin that has fallen on this world that we rest under. The only way, of course, to have all of this rectified is through what God will do through Jesus Christ and bringing redemption to the planet and to us individually.
Yeah, and as in closing for your audience, resolving guilt, if it's appropriate guilt, through what you're saying, through Jesus Christ, repentance, restoration, having the Holy Spirit regenerate us in Christ-likeness, reconciliation with God, resolve appropriate guilt. Inappropriate guilt, and it's an application of the truth. We have to bring the truth in to purge the lie that is causing inappropriate guilt in the first place.
All right. Well, Dr. Jennings, I want to thank you for being with us and looking at this topic. I know it's a topic that we could have spent a lot more time on because it is a really significant issue. And I think that both from the standpoint of pastors at relating to church members, it is a significant issue. I can say that from my personal experience. And I think from your background and your experience, it is such a significant issue that people deal with.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get the Bible question answered. It is, what Old Testament passage warns that those who sow trouble or wickedness will reap the same? And the answer that we have according to Phil is Job 4, verse 8, and that is correct. We had another answer from the book of Proverbs as well, and I think you'll find similar references. But the one that we have is coming from Job chapter 4, verse 8. It warns that those that sow trouble or wickedness will reap the same. Also, we want to make sure that we have the person that the book is going to in the second half of the program. Could it be this simple? Is going to Gary in Virginia. To each of you, thank you for being with us. God bless. Look forward to being with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support Life Talk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net, or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.